Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the dreaded 3 weeks. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host, and you are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Our parsha this week is Pinchas. Hey, remember last week when our heroes were being led astray by the evil Balak and his maidens of Midian? Well, in come Pinchas, Aaron's grandson, to save the day. He asks Moses, what is the halacha for this immoral act? And then acts to take out Zimri and his Midianite princes, both respected leaders, for defaming the Jewish people and denying Hashem, which definitely gets everyone's attention, and the immorality, and along with it, the plague, is stopped. And once again, Hashem, God, counts his people as the census is taken. And the land of Israel is divided by lottery as Moshe was instructed by God. And of course, here's the famous daughters of Slavka to come to Moshe to ask that they be granted a portion because their father died and there was no son to inherit. And of course, Moshe inquires of God, and indeed, the daughters will inherit. Finally, Joshua is formally chosen to replace Moshe as leader, since Moshe will not be allowed to enter the land of Israel. And the daily offerings in the Mishkan are described. Well, last Tuesday, we entered a period known as the 3 weeks. It's a semi-mourning period to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the holy temples in Yerushalayim or Jerusalem. They were destroyed for our sins, while we are glad, of course, that God took out his wrath on the buildings rather than destroy his people. We do hope for the imminent rebuilding of the third, final, and eternal Beis HaMikdash with the coming of our righteous Mashiach to take us out of this exile and return us all to the land of Israel. And speaking of returning, our dedicated staff has returned to offer you the best in Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Mr. Ward DeLynn. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. Special guest today is Mr. Travis Smith, who's a Noachide, who's assistant to the director of AskNoah.org. Travis directs much of the Noachide educational programs, and he'll bring us up to date straight ahead. And speaking of continuing vital work, your support is still needed. Get your friends and neighbors to do the same. Make your pledge today at 412-979-5770 or at JewishExperienceOfVerizon.net. And if you wait for somebody else to do it, not going to get done, and we may not be around. So if you want to keep us around, please make your pledges right away. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo, and his popular story segment is sponsored by Perfect Flooring. And, of course, they take the showroom to you. The community news and announcements, the popular feminine perspective, and Rabbi Eisen's moment in Jewish history is available for your sponsorship, so you can call right now and reserve your spot. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. The entire staff really does work hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we do rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishe, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770, or you can send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. It's that simple. Don't forget candlelighting time this week, starting to slide on back, 8:35 p.m. So sit back and enjoy the best in a cappella Jewish music just for you on an Erev Shabbos. Do da do da. Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refua Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
When a person gives a gift to a poor man, it is appropriate to give it with the right hand, which is the more important one. By doing so, the donor acknowledges how important the pauper is in the eyes of Hashem, because the Almighty Himself stands at the right side of the poor man, as it says, Ki yamod limin evyon lehoshia mishovtei nafsho. For Hashem stands at the right of the destitute to save him from the condemners of his soul. The sages ordained that a blessing be recited before the performance of many mitzvahs. Why, then, is no blessing said before giving tzedakah? Teshuvah Sarashbo explains that as a rule, the sages never required a blessing for any mitzvah bein odom lachavero, between man and his fellow man, such as visiting the sick, honoring parents, and so on. Because in every interpersonal mitzvah, the entire obligation is predicated upon the will of the recipient. Should the recipient change his mind at the last moment and refuse to receive the service or kindness, then the entire mitzvah disappears. Thus it may occur that the person will recite a blessing just before he gives the poor man charity, and suddenly the poor man will have a change of heart and announce that he does not wish to accept tzedakah, and the blessing will then be made in vain. The great Hasidic master, Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimenov, told his Talmidim that he had found in a very old volume that the reason we do not recite a blessing over tzedakah is that it is extremely difficult to fulfill this mitzvah properly. The real mitzvah of tzedakah is not just to give to the poor. It is to give with genuine joy. The sages realized that the vast majority of people do not give with joy, so they did not want to establish a blessing on a deficient mitzvah. We have to realize that when the poor man comes to our door, he gives us much, much more than we could ever give him.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for The Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Time for a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
The arrangement of the Babylonian Talmud. By the middle of the 4th century, Christian persecution in Eretz Yisrael caused the remainder of the sages to immigrate to Babylonia. For the first time since the Babylonian exile, nearly 800 years previously, all Torah scholarship was concentrated in one area. Led by Abaya and Rava, this august assembly debated new cases, analyzing decisions and explanations of earlier rabbis, checking them for inconsistencies, and provided explanatory comments on the Mishnah. These discussions were fixed in a formalized lexicon and formed the bulk of the Babylonian Talmud. At first, however, this material was not written down, and each topic was not assigned its place in a text. This task was left for the codifiers of the Talmud, Rav Ashi and Ravina II. Sealing the Babylonian Talmud. Once again, God granted the Jewish people a period of tranquility before times became bad, in order to facilitate a monumental task, in this case, sealing the Babylonian Talmud. As in the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rav Ashi, the leader of the Jewish people, had the three qualities necessary for this endeavor. Supreme political power granted him by the Babylonian authorities, universal recognition as the greatest Torah scholar of the era, and wealth. As such, he spent close to 60 years in conjunction with other sages editing the voluminous material known as the Gemara, making a first draft and then a final copy. At that time, not only were the halachic conclusions written down, but also the argumentation of previous generations of Amoraim up to his own time. Unlike the Mishnah, the Gemara was written in great detail to facilitate understanding from the text itself. In many ways, the Gemara clarifies the Mishnah, establishing which halachic opinions are binding, providing derivations for the laws and teaching moral lessons in the forms of homilies and stories. After Rav Ashi passed away in 426 CE, Ravina II, who died in 500 CE, continued the final editing and halachic writing. At that point, the Jewish people accepted that the Babylonian Talmud, composed of the Mishnah and the Gemara, was the final halachic authority. No one could decide any matter contradictory to the Talmud, and all future decisions have to be based on it. To this day, the sine qua non of an observant Jew is his adherence to the Talmud, and one who denies any teaching of the Talmud is considered a heretic. The Rabbanan Savorai. In the middle of the 5th century, widespread religious persecution broke out in Babylonia, instigated by Persian fanatics. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen, wishing everyone a happy and healthy Shabbos.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Police asking the magistrate's court in Hadera to extend the custody of a 23-year-old resident of Arara in north-central Israel who used a screwdriver to stab a soldier on Thursday. The assailant intended to use the soldier's gun to kill him and possibly to commit mass murder outside the Aloni shopping center at Karkor Junction. The Arab said he wanted to avenge the death of a relative of his, a 28-year-old criminal who was shot to death while trying to escape from police in 2006. Israeli ground forces have completed a counter-terrorist operation and have withdrawn from central Gaza after eliminating 11 Hamas terrorists and wounding several others. Two soldiers suffering light and moderate injuries. Clashes with Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists escalated after a routine patrol spotted a terrorist gang and called for air cover. Foreign ministers of the United Arab Emirates have appealed to PLO leaders to turn back the clock and return to the Fatah-Hamas unity government that existed in Gaza until last month. Meeting in Saudi Arabia, the ministers noted that Hamas won the majority of the seats in the PLO legislature, but that Fatah leader Mahmoud Abbas is the authorized head of the PLO. Hamas puts out the only newspaper in Gaza in the wake of violence that has seen three journalists killed and 30 attacks in the PLO-assigned areas this year. Hamas denying reports that it gave the Army of Islam $5 million and a million bullets in exchange for British Broadcasting Corporation reporter Alan Johnston. The French newspaper Le Figaro publishing a letter by the parents of kidnapped Israeli Army Corporal Gilad Shalit, saying that they hope the release of Johnston indicates flexibility that will allow contact with their son. The letter says they heard Gilad's recently released audio tape and continue to do what they can for his release. Member of Knesset Yuval Steinitz of the Likud party says that Israel should learn from Johnston's release that determination and a refusal to give in to terrorist demands can yield positive results. The former head of the Knesset Defense and Foreign Affairs Committee says that Israel was once unwilling to give in to terrorism, but Britain is now the country that has stood up to terrorists, leaving the terrorists no options but to release their captive or kill him. If Israel would put pressure on Hamas, Stein has said, quoting now, it would be possible to obtain Gilad Shalit's release for free or at a reasonable price. Israelis wanting the traditional bread for the Sabbath known as challah having to make it themselves after finding the bread shelves nearly empty in the wake of a decision by major bakeries not to produce items under government price control. The government not allowing prices to go up to keep pace with the international price of flour. The bakery supplying only sweet challah, which is more expensive than the regular Sabbath bread, and according to some Jews, does not meet halachic or Jewish legal requirements for bread. Pita and rolls are available for those not able to bake challah in time for Sabbath. The Strauss Elite Company has issued a warning to the public about counterfeit 100-gram bags of elite Turkish coffee, which were discovered in markets recently. The company did not produce or market the bags and is unable to guarantee their quality. Concerned customers can call 1-800-777-777 in Israel for more information and to confirm that their coffee was produced by Strauss and inspected by health officials. A group of citizens from Modi'in between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, an example of large groups to shop in Sderot today in order to support local businessmen hurt by a drop in sales due to frequent rocket attacks on the city. Thousands taking part in the program nationwide. Dani Dahan, the head of the Sderot Business Forum, expressing concern over Sderot's future, saying that many businesses are on the verge of collapse, but adding he's encouraged by the initiative. Dahan and fellow forum members calling on the government to help, saying that the aid provided in the past was inadequate and unhelpful. No injuries from 6 rockets and mortar shells to hit the western Negev on Thursday. Newly elected Labor Party chairman and defense minister Ehud Barak is catching up with opposition leader Benjamin Netanyahu, but still trails him in the polls, according to a survey carried out for the Haaretz daily. Barak's popularity has risen from less than 10% to 34%, while the Likud chairman and former prime minister received backing of 41% of the respondents. A survey taken for the Knesset television channel shows that 66% of Likud voters support the party chairman as the next party head. Netanyahu's main rival, member of Knesset Silvan Shalom, receiving support from 34% of Likud voters. Netanyahu has announced that primaries will be held in the first week of September. Shalom has voiced his disagreement with the new date and says he will attempt to postpone the primaries until after the fall holidays. It's Kaf for the 20th of Tammuz on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast: clear to partly cloudy with no significant change in temperatures today. A slight rise in temperatures starting on Shabbat, reaching warmer than normal in some places by Monday. Sharper temperature hikes leading to heat stress on Tuesday and Wednesday. In Jerusalem and Tel Aviv today, a high of 29 degrees centigrade, 84 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 40 degrees centigrade, 104 Fahrenheit. The Dead Sea, 39 degrees centigrade, 102 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And there is a little bright spot in this 3 weeks as we rush toward the redemption. Jonathan and Bracha Rosenberg, mazel tov to them, and the bar mitzvah of their son of Rummy. And by the way, I was at that bar mitzvah, and it was an incredible bar mitzvah speech like you've never heard before. It sounded almost like a polished speaker from a 13-year-old kid. It's one of the few times you see something like that. It was unbelievable. Dr. Harvey and Ruth Henteleff on the birth of a granddaughter, and Abby Mendelson on his 60th birthday. Wow. I'm right behind you, buddy. Just had my birthday, actually, Monday. I turned the big 5-5, so there we go. Community Pirkei Avos of classes for women will occur throughout the community at area synagogues in memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff. And a couple other events, Jewish Community Day, Kennywood Park, Sunday, August 26th. Tickets are available at synagogues and Pinsker's. The Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. This program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Elon at 412-422-2224. And we have a very exciting event coming up, Holy Eating, with Dr. Robert M. Schwartz, Ph.D. On Sunday, July 8th, it'll occur 8 to 9:30 p.m. at the Schwartz Home for women only. This is a very exciting new program about how to reveal a method of connecting spirituality, which is a simple secret, which she has found has been extremely successful in helping people effortlessly shed their unnecessary weight. You don't want to miss this exciting new idea in spiritual weight loss. And, of course, he says only spiritual refreshment will be served. If you'd like more information, you can give him a call at 412-805-8800. That's 412-805-8800 for Holy Eating with Dr. Robert Schwartz, Sunday, July 8th at the Schwartz Home, also 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And if you'd like to have your mazel tovs on our program, please call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. We'll get it on for you. Remember, candlelighting time this week, 8:35 p.m. We're glad to have with us today Mr. Travis Smith, who is an observant Noahide, who lives with his wife and children near Albuquerque, New Mexico, and is an assistant to the director of the international Noahide outreach organization, AskNoah.org. So he's coming to talk to us today about the subject of education. And of course, Gentiles who want to follow the path of the Sheva Mitzvahs, of the Seven Commandments, which God gave in the Torah for all mankind, Jews and Gentiles alike. They're otherwise known as the Seven Laws of Noah. So, Travis, welcome to the program. And the first thing I want to ask you is, you know, how did you get involved in all this stuff?
Well, Hirsch, like a great many Noahides, I was just searching for answers.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to find answers for things that didn't make sense to me. I just reached a point in my life where I could no longer believe in the things that I'd been taught. I knew that I loved God, mm-hmm. but I was confused about what he wanted me to do, how he wanted me to serve him. So after a lot of prayer and a lot of study, you know, doors began to open and lead to other doors. And then one night I happened to come across a website for a Jewish outreach organization,
mm-hmm.
Kind of an anti-missionary website, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had written in a letter to the rabbi there, asking a lot of the same questions that I had, and that was the very first time I ever heard of the Noahide Laws.
That's fascinating, because you know, you think about here you are in a small town outside in Albuquerque, and you really around you is not a ton of Jewish influence or any of this, and yet on your own you kind of realize something was a mess or whatever, and you started to do this investigation and then found this website. So, I mean, it's kind of what we say, Hashgacha Protes, or divine providence, I guess, that would lead you to it, because it's kind of amazing in a situation like that you would find it. There are some Jews who live in and around all kinds of Judaism at the time, and they don't find it. So it's just amazing that you did that.
And what was even more amazing to me was the website was really set up for Jewish education.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And there just happened to be that one lone question in there.
Well, what led you then to ask Noah?
Well, after I read the rabbi's reply to the question, I started doing a great deal of independent study on the Noahide Laws,
uh-huh.
My own, and I looked at a lot of websites, many of which were helpful, but some of them just didn't feel kosher to
okay.
me. That
uh-huh.
makes sense. But the one website that I came back to over and over again was AskNoah.org.
Okay.
I don't know why, it just felt solid and sound to me, as if I'd kind of been led to it. And then one day I worked up the courage to email Dr. Shulman,
mm-hmm.
Asking some questions, and that was really, really the beginning of a new life for me.
Wow, that's great. So you not just emailed him, but you actually enrolled, I guess, in his United Noahide Academies, is that true?
Right. I emailed him. He answered my questions, and he came across as really a caring person that I could trust. I could tell by reading his website that he was very, very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, immediately, as soon as I could, I enrolled in all three of the courses that were offered.
That's great. Now, he doesn't actually teach the courses himself, does he?
Well, no, he doesn't teach them himself. The courses are already printed up.
Oh, printed up on there. Okay.
Yeah, and they're emailed to the students at their own pace, so they can work on them at home and complete each lesson at their own pace and turn them in, and then they get the next lesson.
Well, now as a student, I mean, you're doing this as a student, but then of course you got more involved and actually became an assistant. What does that mean? What do you actually do as an assistant?
Well, what I actually do is I help administer the coursework, which means I keep track of the students and which courses they're on, and I email them their courses.
Mm-hmm.
I grade their exams at the end of each course, and I try to answer as many questions as I'm able to, and I try to steer the students in the direction, you know, for information that they need or want, and anything other than that, I turn it over to Dr. Shulman. So.
Right.
Basically, I'm just there to kind of encourage the students and help them matriculate through the classes.
Well, that's great. That's great. So, obviously, the Noahide movement has grown over the past few years, and there's a number of ways I think people are more and more finding about it. Ask Noah is one of them. How is this whole thing coming? I know we're close to Mashiach, and we're close to, you know, the time, I guess, where everybody's going to know what they're supposed to do.
Right.
But right now, how is this happening? Besides,
well, you know, like you said, I can only assume that it's happening now because it's the right time for it to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking as a Gentile, you know, you have to understand many of us, we feel like we've been wandering around through life without our instruction manual that tells us how we should act towards each other,
mm-hmm.
how we should please God, how we should eat, you know, etc. And I think people are just now starting to realize that the Jewish people have always had this information for us. And, you know, thank God many people are starting to figure this out and starting to realize that the Rambam spoke the truth when
mm-hmm.
he said that the path of B'nai Noach is integrally tied to the Jewish people.
Yeah.
You know, and I also believe that it's happening now because, you know, thank God we finally live in an environment in many places in the world where the Jewish people can freely talk about and publicize the Noahide Laws.
Right.
And, you know, that's a very powerful thing. You know, I think the prophet Jonah, he only had to say 6 or 7 words to the people of Nineveh, and they changed their ways overnight.
Right.
And for the most part, everyone that I've talked to about the Noahide laws has been very receptive.
Yeah, it's. I think that people are searching, especially in a time now where we're getting high tech. I think it's like they always say, you need high touch, and people are focusing more now on what the meaning of life is. And even in we see it in just in Jewish circles, the hidden parts of Torah, as you can see, obviously with the, you know, in a kind of a bad way, the movie stars getting involved with Kabbalah, and they're kind of, you know, distorting it and all that. But they're still looking in that area, you know, for the secrets of the Torah, so to speak. And Jews are uncovering that as well. And it's just more and more, I think, people are searching here. So, and it's great to be able to have this resource for them. But there are some pitfalls that people should try to avoid, and there are some resources that might be available. So let's talk real quick. And we do have an audience, by the way, of this program that is a number of non-Jews that do listen and enjoy the program, and we encourage them to enjoy it with us. So just in general, on the Internet, what are some of the best resources? We know AskNoah.org is out there. Is there anything else that you recommend?
Well, there were several that I did enjoy and that I did learn from, you know, when I initially was learning about the seven laws. But for me, Ask Noah has it all. You know,
okay.
It's been the ultimate resource for me, and it also, you know, has so many sources and links and other information, and it's constantly updated. It just felt very right to me, and I haven't really needed anything other than that.
Okay.
And actually, it's even better now because there's a new forum on AskNoah.org where you can actually get on and ask a question to an Orthodox rabbi, and usually you get your answer the next day. So
that's pretty good. Yeah,
really improved in that respect.
So is there any books out on these things for people to read?
There's a lot of books out, but, you know, I'm always careful about what I read and try to get some guidance on what books I'm going to read concerning the Noahide laws because, you know, there's so many things put out now for that have some kind of agenda or isn't true to the Torah, so I like to make sure that the resources I'm reading are, you know, are based on the Torah and the rabbis and are written by a respected author or a scholar of some type.
Okay. And let me ask you this. The Noahide in general, obviously, you're still commanded to pray, are they not?
I don't believe we are commanded to pray.
Okay.
But I can assure you we do pray.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just in general, you recognize the Creator. So how, and this is kind of just getting off for a second, but just how do you, so to speak, serve the Creator by following the seven Noahide laws, but or the seven laws of Noah, excuse me, but isn't there a way you actually praise Him in a sense? Is there any, or is that just on your own?
Well, I'm not sure how I answer that, but yes, I mean, for the most part, it's on our own, but we do praise Him, and usually, and that's done through the Psalms, you know, anything that comes across as recommending anything stronger than just suggested prayers based on the Psalms,
okay.
I wouldn't agree with, but yeah, we do read and we do pray with the Psalms.
Great. All right. And and you mentioned that you have communications with other Noahides basically through this forum. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. All right.
And you know, I do have communications with other Noahides that are students or former students and things like that.
That's great. So what are you working on now? Are there any other additional educational resources that you would want available to them? Is there other things down the pike that's happening?
Well, my wish list for things that I wish we had now really revolve around children.
Uh-huh.
I have two younger children, and you know, you can imagine they're always asking me questions about God, and you know, I really don't have those answers, and I really want to bring them up in the Torah, but I'm not exactly sure how to go about that. So, you know, any type of summer camp for kids, you know, online study for kids, some kind of homeschooling information for kids where we can raise them to be Torah observant Noahides.
Yeah. Okay, that's a great idea, because I haven't even heard the Ask Noah people talk about the kids aspect of it, and that is something that I think is really important. Because they say,
I think all of that is coming, and even more.
Because you know, it's always say you got to train them in the way, and they'll never depart from it. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. So how important is it to have, let's say, a local Orthodox rabbi or some other mentor for Noachites? How important do you think that is?
Well, I don't know if it's completely essential to have a local Orthodox mentor because, I mean, like my local Orthodox rabbi is overwhelmed, mm-hmm. you know, with the needs of the Jewish community here.
Right.
And so... it's hard for them to take time to teach Noahides and to expect them to have extra time for that. And, you know, oftentimes they haven't studied very much into Noahide law.
Yeah, right.
But I do think a teacher is necessary. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes that relationship will have to be long distance. And like you mentioned earlier, you know, thank God we have the technology to make that distance learning effective nowadays.
Sure. Okay, well, we're almost out of time. So, and any final comments, first of all, in general that you'd like to share? And on that, if you want to comment on how you mentioned a little bit that you've talked to people. Do you have any organized way that you go out and kind of spread the word about the Seven Commandments? Or is there something you're developing to do that?
Well, there's nothing that I've developed to do that. But, you know, you don't realize how many times an opportunity presents itself during a typical day. You know, people ask me what I'm doing for holidays or things like that, and it gives me a chance to explain to them what I'm about and what I believe in. And, you know, it's all about education. And, you know, the more people know, the more they understand, the more that the Noahide laws ring true.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just always been education and the Noahide path go hand in hand. There's no way to disagree with the beauty and the logic of it.
Sure.
You know, everything else is contradictory in my mind. So basically, when opportunity presents itself, I just present the facts the way they are.
Okay. Well, we are out of time, and I do appreciate you taking time out to be with us. And it is a fascinating concept here in terms of the educational aspects of Noachides and what they're doing. And I want to thank you again for being on the show with us. It's been Mr. Travis Smith, who is the assistant to the director of AskNoah.org, and a really kind of forward-looking revolutionary website dealing with the education of Noahites and also the spreading of the Seven Commandments of Noah, sometimes called in Hebrew the Sheva Mitzvahs. And Travis Smith, once again, thank you very much. Have a great week.
Irish, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but He promised Israel to His chosen people, hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
And now, back to the music with Moshe Pekar.
you like what you hear or you have an idea for selections on a future show, you can email me, Moshe Pekar, at keyplayer@hotmail.com, and we'll try and do it.
Now it's time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
In biology, we are taught that each creature has a niche, a position or function that he has within the community. Not every person can be the leader, and not every person can be the follower. To have a well-ordered, productive society, each person must have his own niche. That way, everything is done and nothing is repeated. The same is true with servers of Hashem. Each person, although he must fulfill every commandment, is always drawn to a certain mitzvah over the next. For some, it's the mitzvah of sukkah. One of my neighbors brings a computer, a sink, beds, and lives the mitzvah. For others, it's the mitzvah that's harder than the rest, for the Yitzhahara works especially hard to stop the person from doing it. In this week's Torah portion, Parshas Pinchas, we learn about Pinchas, the son of Aaron the high priest, who is given the status of a Kohen. Since he was born before the priesthood was given to the family of Aaron, he wasn't included in it. It is only now that Pinchas proves himself worthy through his zealousness for Hashem, and he is awarded the priesthood. Some say that he has the same soul as Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, whose zealousness for Hashem is renowned. The Jewish people were in a state of panic after Pinchas rightly killed Zimri, the prince of Shimon. They felt that they had now committed the three sins that brought the flood of Noah's time upon the world: idol worship, adultery, and now murder. But Hashem reassured them that Pinchas' deed was not murder. It was actually because of this that the Jewish people were not destroyed. The two tribes, Shimon and Levi, were always very close, sticking up for one another. One would think that now, since Pinchas of Levi had killed Zimri of Shimon, that the tribes would be enemies. But Hashem's word shows us the opposite. Hineni nosein lo bris shalom. Behold, I am giving him the covenant of peace. Pinchas did the right thing, and the tribes did not become enemies. Later on in the Parsha, we learn about the census that was taken. Like many other censuses, this one was taken after a catastrophe in the Jewish people. Hashem counts us then to show us his love and concern. After, a lottery is done to apportion the land of Israel for each tribe. As we explained above, each person has a special mitzvah, one that his soul is drawn to over the rest. According to Hasidic thought, this concept is hinted to us by the lottery dividing up the land. This implies that each person's nachla, or portion, in their spiritual service is pre-allotted. Ready for some deep concepts? According to Kabbalah, each person's soul stems from the general soul that Adam HaRishon, Adam, the first man, had. Adam HaRishon had a soul that encompassed everyone else's. A person's special mitzvah depends on the area that their soul was located in Adam's general soul. When a person fulfills their own special mitzvah, they are fueled to do the other mitzvahs as well. How does one know what a special mitzvah is? Sometimes it's the one you feel closest to, while sometimes it's a mitzvah that's the hardest. There is also a special mitzvah given for each generation. Our generation's mitzvah is to spread knowledge, belief, and yearning for the coming of Mashiach, because our souls were put here by divine providence in the last generation in Galus. Have a good Shabbos.
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is brought to you by Perfect Flooring, 412-551-1697. Yitzchak Chico Kadosh says, "We bring the showroom to you." Call 412-551-1697 for Perfect Flooring. And now, our renowned storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The Zohar recounts a fascinating incident of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yossi. They were once traveling on the road and saw two men walking. Suddenly, a poor man approached them and pleaded, "Please give me something to eat. I have been wandering in the desert for 2 days, and I am famished." One of the men took out from his bundle the food and drink he had brought along for himself, and handed it to the poor man. His friend said, "What are you doing with your food? This is the food that you had brought along for yourself." The first man responded, "I didn't involve you in this, and I want to give the food to the poor man." The poor man took the food, sat down, and ate most of the food, with a little bit left over to take along. Rabbi Chiya remarked to Rabbi Yossi, obviously, Hashem did not want this good deed to be done through us. Rabbi Yossi answered him, perhaps there was a decree on this person, and Hashem wanted to give the individual an opportunity to do a chesed, thereby saving himself. As the two Chachomim continued to walk, they observed that the man who had performed this great chesed was becoming tired. His friend said, I told you not to give away your food. Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Yossi, we have food, why don't we give him some? The man who had performed the chesed sat down underneath a tree and immediately fell asleep. His companion left him there and continued down the road. The two Chachomim observed a coal glowing near the sleeping man, whose flames began to leap upward. Rabbi Chiya said, woe is to me! The man could die! Rabbi Yose said, no, Hashem will perform a great miracle for this man. As they stood there, they noticed a huge poisonous snake slithering down from the upper part of the tree towards the sleeping man underneath. It appeared that the snake would strike the man. They watched as the snake was caught in the rising fire and was consumed. Rabbi Yossi noted, I told you that Hashem wanted to do a miracle, and we should not take away this man's merit. When the man awoke from his sleep, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yossi gave him food to eat and related the greatness that had occurred while he slept. Rabbi Yossi explained, B'tach b'Hashem v'asah tov. By doing good through your tzedakah, you activated good from Shemayim, and you were saved, as it says, tzedakah tatzil mimoves. Tzedakah is a tree of life, and in this situation saved him from the tree of death. The tzedakah that he performed down in the earthly world caused tzedakah to be given to him from above. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we come to the close of the first week of the 3 weeks edition of the Jewish Experience radio program, may it pass fast and may the redemption come swiftly and take it away for good. A couple of events, Pirkei Avos classes, don't forget, occurring throughout the community, in honor of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff. Also, Jewish Community Day, Kennywood Park, Sunday, August 26th, and the tickets at Synagogues and Penskers. Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, you want to call Ilana. They're Sunday evenings from 7 to 8:30, 412-422-2224. And call us if you'd like to have your Mazel Tov listed on the program. It's a free service for the community and the events as well. Call 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And I want to thank Travis Smith, assistant to the director of AskNoah.org, and of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, and Mr. Bordelin, and our engineer, Jeremiah Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time is 8:35 p.m. It's been a lot of fun, but I do have to run. Till next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Shabbat. Shalom.